Cowboys have changed in the last 30 years, in my opinion. Cowboys have come from the rough style and the big ego to they've found out that there's a better way.
Church.
Recently, we were at the Morehouse Ranch.
Yeah.
And some interesting things, some friends of yours from a long time back.
Yeah. Well, the Morehouse Ranch is situated right out in the middle of absolutely nowhere.
Nowhere.
I mean, in this county, there's approximately 800 people, and they're mostly made up of ranches.
Now, this is the real cowboy
country. It is,
country.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you want to know what a cowboy church is, you need to go to Guthrie.
And the thing I like about this, you had the old Brush Arbor meeting,
mm-hmm.
from the old camp meetings of the
right.
1950s.
Right, right.
The way it used to be in the old days, and the way that the rural people and the cowboy people like things.
That's right. So we're going to be talking to Tom and Becky Morehouse on their ranch near Benjamin, Texas. They have their camp meeting there every year. We're going to hear from a man who got saved at that camp meeting 20 years ago. His name is Jimbo Humphreys, and he's going to recite a poem depicting that actual...
his salvation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depicting his salvation.
And the thing I'm really interested in is my dear old daddy is going to be preaching. Yeah, we'll
he
have fun
did
today.
An awesome job. I tell you what, I love Jasper, and he was a trooper. He never
was.
Gave up. We'll be right back with Cowboy Church. You know, in the old days, people got to know each other by spending time with them, going over to the house, having a supper, getting in the living room, and just visiting with one another. That's become a lost art. Well, I went into Tom and Becky Morehouse's living room, and we had a wonderful visit. And you know what? We never once turned the TV on.
I had two children, and Tom had two children. And it's hard blending families, especially ours, because his family had children had grown up on the ranch, and my children had grown up in town. They were familiar with ranch life, but it was still a big adjustment. And we had a surprise. We had a baby boy, and that was made a lot of things easier because he was common ground for everybody, and so it brought the family closer. And but they've all been a blessing. So Tom was married previously, and his wife had cancer, and he lost her in 89. It's a very exciting life being married to a cowboy. There's not ever a dull moment, and there's there's so many opportunities to follow them, and you know, you can get in trouble sometimes trying to back the trailer just right, or but we get along really well, Tom and I do. And earlier we were talking about ranch marriages, and I don't really know that. I think any time that there's love between two people, it doesn't really matter what your location or your income is or what's around you, as long as you have someone to share with. And we do enjoy sharing at the end of the day what we've accomplished and what we've seen, because we see a lot of beautiful things out here. And
actually, my folks took us boys to church since we were little bitty kids, but and I went to Sunday school and studied the Bible and was baptized, and God was real at that time. But you know, the real truth about it is God came to me more later in life. I'm talking about in the last 10 years. He came to me more in the last 10 years than he had before. Because I had to go through all this stuff about being a cowboy and peer pressure and too busy to read the Bible. And if I didn't like the preacher, I didn't listen to the sermon, and et cetera. So God was real to me, because all you have to do is trot out across the pasture, and there he is. So he has to be real. But I've become much closer in the last few years, and a lot of it's because of studying his word, and not that I'm a Bible scholar by any means, but I do enjoy studying the word, and used to, I didn't. I just did it because I thought I was supposed to, and now I like to. And man, that helps. So I believe, likely, that the Holy Spirit has sort of got a hold on me and shown me what I need to be shown.
Now Jesus is turning the windmills. He's turning them out on the plains. When Jesus is pumping the water, you'll never be thirsty again. A lady rode up to the windmill. Her heart was heavy and sad, and sin had been her companion, and much of her life had been bad. At noontime, a stranger came riding up to the windmill that day.
CD, Let Go, is a must-have for any music lover's collection. Let Go is a heartfelt collection that encourages you to let go of the things in life holding you down while driving home a message of hope. For a limited time, Susie has included with Let Go not one, but two more CDs, A Tender Road Home and No Limit. These CDs normally sell for $15 each plus shipping and handling. But order now and receive all three for the discounted price of only $40 plus shipping and handling. To order this special 3-CD package, call 1-800-447-1987 or visit Susie's website at www.susielexinger.com.
Have you missed an episode of Cowboy Church? Need a great gift for a friend or family member? Maybe you just need a way to introduce someone to the Word of God. Well, problem solved. Now you can order any previous episode of Cowboy Church on DVD. Each DVD contains two episodes for one low price of only $19.95 plus $5 shipping and handling. To order, call 1-800-447-1987 or visit our website at www.cowboychurch.tv.
My years on this earth were a little over 30, and living them for Satan had gotten downright dirty. The ways of this world I had took a hold, while my very soul to Satan I'd already sold. To a cowboy camp meeting I'd gotten an invite. The cowboys singing and preaching, I thought, what a sight. With much thought I decided I would go and see what they could possibly have for one such as me. There were cowboys that stood and their testimonies each told. Some were a little shy, and some were quite bold. They had lots of singing and a little preaching, too. And within me, something said, it's all so very true. My heart got real heavy as I left that night, and the Lord dealt with me until the next morning light. Such strong and powerful convictions I had never before felt. Well, he brought up some matters with which I'd never dealt. The next day was worse as the longer it got, for the burden I carried sure did weigh a lot. This battle within me was really starting to burn. From this life of sin, I surely had to turn. Back to that camp meeting, I went late that day. Got me a front row seat on that bale of hay. Every word I wanted to hear of each testimony and song. I didn't even care if it took all night long. Now they all sang and told of this living, loving, forgiving one. He had so much love, he had given his son. The forgiveness of my sin, his son had done bought. For now it was me that he really had sought. There was only one way to end all my strife. And that was to accept Jesus as Lord of my life. So I asked for forgiveness of all my bad behavior. Then I asked him to be my Lord and my Savior. So it was right there on that bale of hay I started my life over on that long summer day. The burden of my sin that night had been lifted. Now from the purging floor I shall not be sifted. Now, early the next morning, at an old dirt tank, there gathered quite a crowd on that muddy old bank. I had to be baptized according to the word, and a setting such as this could not be more superb. With your mouth confess me before men, it does say. Jesus is Lord and Savior, I proclaimed that very day. The Lord really changed me, and my life he did fix on that night in June back in 1986. This story is really true of my life started anew. I hope it might help, even if only just a few. Thank you.
Now, I want to talk to you for just a moment about Jesus. He's my friend. And I'm going to... out of this scripture that I'll be talking to you tonight, this was the chapter in the Bible in Luke chapter 22 that transformed my life after becoming a Christian. For a long time, I thought, well, I'm a Christian because I don't want to go to hell. And I don't think any of us want to. But after a while, I began to read the story of the crucifixion, and it changed my life. I thought, would God really do something just for me? And he did, and he did it for you. And I'm going to read you some verses of scripture tonight, and it's found in the 22nd chapter of Luke. And one of them, it says, Well, I want to just ask you some questions, first of all. Did you know that Jesus was betrayed and sold by some of his own disciples? Now, just hold on for this, just a little while. One of the 12. Did you know that between the Last Supper and the betrayal of Judas, that there was strife among the disciples who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Did you know that while Jesus was agonizing in prayer, to the extent that he sweat as if it was great drops of blood, the disciples were sleeping? Did you know that it was the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders that took Jesus and led him to the high priest's house, and the whole multitude arose and they led him to Governor Pilate? Did you know all of this? And Pilate says, I have examined this man and I find no fault in him. And at first I think Governor Pilate thought this was, it must be a joke with all of this. But sooner or later, he was caught up into the mob spirit and he went right along with the rest of them. So this brings me to the thought, how big is God? How big is God? Over in John the 19th chapter, Pilate said unto Jesus, do you not realize that I have power to either free you or crucify you? And Jesus said to Pilate, you would have no power over me at all if it were not given to you from above. Jesus said, I could call 10,000 angels and I could destroy all of you if I wanted to. So to whom will we compare God tonight? And in the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, I'm just going to go down almost verse for verse here. I've written it down so it would be handy for me tonight. In the 12th verse, it says, who has measured the waters or the oceans in the hollow of his hand? Verse 12, who has held the dust of the earth in a basket and measured and weighed the mountains? Verse 13, who has understood the mind of God? Who has instructed him as his counselor? Who did the Lord consult to enlighten him? Who taught him knowledge? Was it Harvard? Was it Yale? Or was it Waxahachie or other university? I don't think so. You know, we compare people. One of the persons that we may compare ourselves today is Albert Einstein. A great man. If you'll read about him, it's an exciting story. But one day there were two men that came to Mrs. Einstein and she asked her the question, Mrs. Einstein, do you understand the theory of relativity? And she said, no, but I serve him coffee every morning and I speak to him every night. And so Einstein was a great man. Who can compare yourself with Albert Einstein? And then there's another man I like to read about, Sir Winston Churchill. I think he's one of the most colorful people that has ever lived. When England was threatened by the Nazis, the Nazis sent him a message one day, said, Churchill, surrender. Sir Winston Churchill said to them, sent him back a notice. He said, we will fight you on the beaches. We'll fight you in the streets. We will fight you in the back alleys. We will fight you behind the schoolhouses, but we will never, 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 never give up. What could you compare with the brilliance of Sir Winston Churchill? These are great men, but to whom will you compare God? Buddha, Muhammad, or whoever? Who among these has measured the water in the hollow of his hand? We're in a hurricane season today. I was thinking as I was driving over here, who creates a hurricane? How do you create a hurricane? How do you start one? How do you stop one? Verse 29 of this chapter, 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? He who sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, he stretches out the heavens like a canopy. To whom will you compare him? You go on just a little further in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, verse 26, it says, lift up your eyes and look into the heavens. Who created all of this? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name and tucks them away at the dawn of light in the morning. How can we compare this? Then in verse 28, it says, do you not know? Good question. Do you not know? Have you not heard? It's the Lord, the everlasting God. He will not grow weary or tired. And that tells me he's bigger than the devil. He's bigger than sin. He's bigger than any troublemaker. He's bigger than anything in this world. And we go on just a little further, verse 29, and I'm about to bring this to a close. It says here, this God that I'm talking to you about, he gives strength to the weary. I've been there. So have you. He gives strength to the weary. Even youths will grow weary and tired, and young men shall stumble and fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Bible says the truth will set us free. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the truth and the light. Susie, if I could sing, I'd like to sing with you. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the little babies in his hand. He's got you and I, brother, in his hand. And I want you to know he is alive and well. You know, there's a lot of bends in the road. There's a lot of ups and downs. But I serve a God that's bigger than anything that you have ever seen. One day someone gave me a little poem. And I thought it was really good. And I kind of put it in my memory. And I'd like to quote that for you tonight if I can. It's been a long time since I did. It's called The Bend in the Road. When you feel you have nothing left to give and you're sure that the song has ended, when the day seems ended and the shadows fall and the darkness of night has descended, where can you go to find the strength? Where can you go to find someone to dry the tear your heart is crying? There's but one place to go, and that's to God. And dropping all pretense and pride, we pour out our sorrow without restraint, and we find strength with him by our side. And together we stand and we view what we think is the end. But God has a much bigger vision and he tells us it's only a bend. And the road goes on and gets smoother. And the pause in the song is a rest. And the part that's unsung and unfinished is the sweetest and richest and best. So rest and relax and grow stronger. Let go and let God share your load. Your work is not finished nor ended. You just come to another bend in the road.
Twill be joy and peace forever in that home and of the soul. I'll lay my burdens down when I reach that city someday.
Heaven will be mine someday, I know. And There's a brighter day waiting down the road for everyone with a heavy load. A truer love, a brand new start for everyone with a broken heart. Oh, the clouds are all gonna disappear. Sun's gonna dry up every tear. Before you know it, it'll be here. There's a brand new train waiting on the tracks. It's glory bound, it ain't coming back. Plenty of room when the whistle blows for the down and out and the weary soul.